Well, if you want to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 12, we'll begin there in just a moment. Luke chapter 12. I've got to find my notes. I did also record the audio and from this morning. I'll do that here tonight, and we'll upload that. So that'll be on the podcast like it usually is for anybody who maybe weren't able to get the video. We'll try to provide that as well. We're going to read in a few minutes in Luke chapter 12, but I have a little lengthy introduction to build up to it, I guess is the only way I know how to say it. So we're going to look at tonight the message entitled Beware of the Leaven of the Pharisees. And, you know, the Lord gave several warnings to his disciples, to those who were following him. And, you know, sometimes he warned them about false prophets. You might remember Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And he said, "You would know them by their fruits." And so, you know, there's a warning there and it's still a warning. All of these are something that we still need to heed, to be on the lookout for. Even to this day, there are false prophets. And when he says, you know, they come to you in sheep's clothing, in other words, they are clandestine. They're, they are subtle. They appear to be something they're not. They appear to be, you know, it's like even Satan, God tells us in Corinthians that he appears as an angel of light. And so these prophets, these false prophets, many times they say the right things, they look the right part, their message might sound logical and sound good. And that's why he said, you know, you have to beware of them, because they are deceitful, they are cunning and sneaky in that way. And so it's something we have to watch out for. And when he said, "You shall know them by their fruits," in other words, you know, you could be taken in by their message. Now, obviously, we know, as the more we study the Bible, the more we learn the Word of God, the more when we hear something that's off, that's not quite biblical, something that doesn't line up with the Scripture, then, you know, that's part of their fruit, is their teaching, their doctrine. And certainly that's one of the biggest indicators, one of the things we look for, is we want to check everything that's taught against the Scripture. Like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, I think we're all familiar with them and how they were more noble than the Thessalonians in that they heard the Word of God with all readiness of mind, meaning that, you know, they were open-hearted to receive it, but then also they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. And so, we want to be doing that. And the more we can learn the Word of God ourselves, the less easily we'll be taken in by them. But, you know, also their other fruits their nature. When he says inwardly, they're ravening wolves. And so after a while, you know, their nature comes out. I was talking to Pastor Friesen just the other day on the telephone, and he was telling me about a man he met with, and he was on YouTube and heard this one preacher, and he's a man that I've mentioned his name before, because he's caused a lot of problems in many churches because he has a large YouTube presence, and he calls himself an independent Baptist. His name is Steve Anderson out of Arizona, but he's as far as I'm concerned, he's one of these false teachers. He has a lot of things that are unbiblical and a spirit that is really not Christ-like at all. But anyway, that nature, you know, when you see something, you say there's a nature there. Now, I know we all have our carnality, and sometimes we We all see things, flaws in us. But anyway, he wants us to beware of false prophets. Another thing Jesus told his disciples to beware of is to beware of, he said, beware of men. And he's talking there about the lost world that will, and he tells his disciples that they will hate you without a cause. They will say all manner of evil against you, falsely accuse you. You know, he's just telling them, beware, be ready for this. He said, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. And, you know, you need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Because he just was, you know, to be forewarned is to be forearmed and not be taken by surprise. Because, you know, I think sometimes we would go for thinking that, hey, we're so excited about Jesus. We're so excited about what God has done in our life and about his word and how wonderful it is to us. And why wouldn't everybody else want to receive it? And then when you go out and you preach it and they say, you know, then they don't receive it. And some get upset. Some turn against you. And, you know, that happened to all the prophets. It happened to the apostles. It happened to the Lord himself. And so he said, you need to beware. Beware that even some in your own family may, you know, be one of these that will persecute you and say all manner of evil against you and so on. And so there's some things that we need to beware of. He told the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, when Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, and he said to them, you're not going to see me again. And so Paul gave them a warning. He said, I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So Paul warned them. He said, you know, I'm going away. And he said, I commend you to God and to his word, which is able to build you up and to keep you and so on. He, you know, he knew the Lord would help them through these times, but they needed to be warned that grievous wolves would come in. Some from the outside, some even from among them would rise up that were, you know, there might be some within that were false teachers or led astray by others, and this attack would come to the church. So the Lord gave some warnings, all right? Now, in this chapter of Luke chapter 12, the Bible, God tells us to beware of two different things. And these are, I think, some ways more insidious than the other two that we just talked about, the false teachers and the persecutors. Because these are more, I think we might be more vulnerable to their attack. And to be honest with you, they're not people. This is an attack of not from a person. This isn't some false teacher attacking our doctrine. This isn't some hater that, you know, is trying to destroy or, trying to damage us in any way, our reputation or whatever. This is an attitude. This is a matter of the heart. This is something that Jesus said you have to beware of because this can take root in your heart. And if it does, it is very dangerous. It is very destructive to your Christian life and to your ministry, to your witness, and just to your relationship with God. So there's two things in this chapter. Now, we're only going to have time tonight to look at one of them. The one that we won't have time to look at is in verse 15. He says here in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So we have to beware of covetousness. Covetousness, essentially, and in this context specifically, is the love of money, you know, the desire for material things, the lust of possessions, wealth, and, you know, that type of thing, covetousness. And it's an enemy. You know the verses in Timothy where he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. And many, I forget how it says it, but in there, you know, he talks about how many men have been drowned in perdition and so on because of this love of money. It you know, that can creep into our heart. And when it does, it corrupts us from the inside. It's like that worm, you know, that lays a little egg in the blossom, and the fruit grows up out of that blossom, grows around the egg, and then, you know, you get that apple and it looks all good on the outside, but that worm is hatched in there and it's corrupted it from the inside. And these things can get in our heart. First of all, covetousness can get in there, and it will corrupt us. It will warp us. Because of the love of money, people have been, you know, driven to do many unholy things, many wicked things, and it pulls people away from God. And that's why the Lord said you cannot serve God and mammon. And so there's that warning. But tonight, the one I want to specifically look with you at, I guess that's the right way to say it, is in verse number 1 of chapter 12. So he says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So here he tells them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, the Lord said this to them here. You can read it also in Matthew chapter 16 and in Mark chapter 8. The Lord gives them the same warning. And I haven't really gone to look into this in depth to find out whether or not these were two different situations. It kind of, when I read it quickly, it seemed that way. Because in Matthew and Mark, you might remember the story where the disciples, and here it talks about, you know, there was an innumerable multitude of people, and it seemed to be a very public setting, and he's saying this to them. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, so he directed it toward the disciples, but there were, you know, there's this big multitude there. When you read in Matthew chapter 16 and Mark chapter 8, you'll find that a story that I think you're familiar with. They were getting in a boat, and they were going to go across the sea, and the disciples had forgot to get bread. They didn't have any bread. I guess, you know, they when they traveled, I don't know what their system was as far as whose responsibility it was to get bread. It seemed like maybe they were a little negligent. Whoever it was, maybe it wasn't organized very well amongst the disciples. I don't know, because I'm just thinking about, you know, of course, they got out into the wilderness, right? And you remember they were there, and it got late, and they got hungry, and they said, send the multitude away. And Jesus said, no, we got to feed them. And then he asked, you know, what do we have? And they found a lad, a young fella, with some bread and fish. But they didn't seem to have any to contribute themselves. So it seems like at that point they were out. And we know, of course, the Lord fed the multitude and met the need. And, you know, I just think about other cases. Of course, it happened again when there was 4,000. When they got to Sychar there in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, the disciples left the Lord at the well because they had to go into town and buy food. So, I don't know, you know, just kind of a little side thought there that it seemed like they ran out of bread here and there. But anyway, they had forgotten to bring bread, and Jesus made this statement. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And if you know the story, the disciples said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven's, you know, when they hear the word leaven, it makes them think of bread, because that leaven is essentially a yeast, you know, to make dough to rise and so on. And he said, beware of that. And so they're thinking, well, he's talking something about bread. What is he getting at? And we didn't bring any bread. Maybe it's the fact that we didn't bring bread. And the Lord, of course, he you know, he knows what there is in their heart. He knows the question on their heart. And so he tells them, he said, I'm not talking about bread. I'm not talking about, you know, the fact that you didn't bring bread. And he reminds them, don't you remember I was able to create bread? You know, whether you brought bread or not, we're going to be okay. I can take care of that. But I'm talking about, and in Matthew he says, the doctrine of the Pharisees. Mark makes an interesting addition. In Matthew he says, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the scribes and the Pharisees. And in Mark chapter 8, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Which is kind of interesting. Apparently Herod was, you know, he was leavened with the same leaven of that the Pharisees were. But here, when he tells them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, what is this leaven of the Pharisees? Well, it tells us right here in this verse. It says, which is hypocrisy. And so essentially, the leaven, that which, you know, leaven permeates. Leaven has a, you know, you mix it in and it permeates through the entire lump. You know, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so it's something that spreads. It's something that, you know, can get in every part. And when we get this in our heart, it just infects the whole body. It corrupts the entire heart. And so this leaven of hypocrisy. And leaven also, of course, as I say, is a agent of, you know, to make dough rise. And, you know, it puffs up. And I kind of thought about that when I think of the pride that we'll see here in a minute as we talk about hypocrisy. But tonight we're going to get into a little study here about hypocrisy. Now, he says it in verse 1, but essentially it's like the summary of what he was talking about that takes place back up in chapter 11. So I want you to look up the page, or maybe you have to turn back a page to find Luke chapter 11 and verse number 40. Let me see here. Well, in verse 37, it says that as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. So he goes to the house of a Pharisee. He went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And so there's this event at a Pharisee's house, and they sit down to eat. And the Pharisees, we're gonna talk about a little bit more in a minute, but they were very fastidious about washings. They were very, you know, religious, if you will, about washing and all this stuff. And so Jesus didn't. And it's interesting, I had written a note in the margin of my Bible at some point when I read through here at another time. And I wrote down, if Jesus steps on their sensibilities, it was to teach them a lesson. And so he didn't wash, and I don't know if he purposely didn't do that. Perhaps he did to, you know, point out something to them. But anyway, it says, he begins to talk to them about, you know, they wash the outside, but then he talks about the inside. But right now, I just want you to look at verse 42. And he says, woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. And so he starts talking to them and he says, woe unto you. Now, woe, of course, is a word of, you know, that's like a warning, you know, to have woe, misery. You know, there's a woe pronounced unto them. This is a kind of a word of judgment. Woe unto you, Pharisees. And then verse 43, woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogue. Verse 44, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not. And then he says down in verse 47, woe unto you. And so there's many woes. I guess in verse 46 even, he says, woe unto you also, lawyers. We won't be able to go through all of that. But he pronounces this woe, this, you know, this doom upon them because of their hypocrisy, because of their hearts are not right with God. They pretend to be all this, but they're not. And in this chapter, as we study a little bit, I want to point out to you basically the characteristics of hypocrisy, okay? Now, the primary definition of hypocrisy, I looked this up on dictionary.com, and it said a person who feigns something desirable or publicly approved attitude. So he feigns something that's desirable or a publicly approved attitude, especially one whose private life opinions and statements belie his or her public statements. Did you follow that? Maybe I read that a little kind of haltingly, but he says, it says there that it's a person who feigns, they pretend, they put this on, they pretend to be, you know, they pretend something that's publicly approved of. So in order to be publicly approved, in order to get the approval of men, they put this on. But he says later in that definition that in their private life or in their opinions, you know, in their heart, what they really think, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, in public they say one thing, but what they really think is something different. There's people that in public they act one way. They pretend, you know, a certain way. But behind closed doors, they're the opposite. And that's what a hypocrite is. I know you're familiar with the term, and you probably know the definition. But a hypocrite is somebody who pretends to be one thing in a certain setting. But if you really knew who he really was, if you really got to see behind the facade, behind the mask, behind that exterior, that's not really him at all. And so this is what God deals with. And so it says in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 3, "All therefore, whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works." He's talking about the Pharisees. He said, what they tell you, observe. Because what they say often is right, it's correct. But he said, don't follow what they do. Because they say one thing, and they do the opposite. So, I'm going to give you just a couple little definitions here. The primary characteristic of a hypocrite is deceit. That's it. You know, putting on an appearance. There's many, many references. I know you're familiar with them. Let me just read you a couple. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 28, he says, "Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." In our text here in Luke chapter 11, you know that he says in verse 39, the Lord said unto him, "Do not ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." And down in verse, later on, he talks about in verse 44, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and men that walk over them are not aware of them." So again, you know, he uses this term like a grave often. He called them at one point whited sepulchres and different things, because you know it's that picture that on the outside, you know, graves are usually, you know, made to look nice because you know there it's a monument, it's a memorial, it's, you know, it's something to remember a loved one for, and so graves have a nice exterior, but we know what's underneath, right? We know what's on the inside of a grave. And here he says, you know, you're like graves and you're camouflaged so that men don't even know that there's deadness there. And this is what it is. It's that deceit. Matthew chapter 22, this is interesting, kind of a little bit different. He says, you remember this, when they came to Jesus and they tried to always catch him in his words. And here's where they said, you know, there, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to unto Caesar or not? And this is a very famous, you know it well. Jesus said, you know, render unto Caesar things that are Caesar's, unto God things that are God. But he said this in verse 18, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Why did he call them hypocrite there? Because, you see, they're coming as though they have a sincere question. They're asking, you know, like this is, they're wanting to be taught. You're a teacher, we're here to learn from you. But he knew that's not what they were about. That's not what they were interested in. This was completely, this was deceptive. They thought they were deceiving Jesus, but, you know, you don't deceive Jesus. He saw right through them. He saw that the question was, their whole demeanor was being a hypocrite. Why don't you just come out and say what you really want to say? Why don't you just really, you know, what you're trying to do is you're trying to trick me. And so, you know, this is what a hypocrite is. In Ezekiel chapter 33, here's an interesting verse. It says in verse 31, And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And so even in Ezekiel's day, God says, you know, they'll come, they'll listen, they'll hear the prophet, they speak as though they love me, but their heart is full of covetousness. There's a famous story about, many of you have heard of the American president, Teddy Roosevelt. And during one of Roosevelt's political campaigns, he had a delegation come to his home on Long Island, and the president met him, and he had his coat off and his sleeves all rolled up and so on, and he said, gentlemen, come down to the barn and we'll talk while I do some work. And so he was kind of like saying, you know, I'm working, I'm a hardworking guy, and, you know, I got lots of work to do, so let's just come, I'll talk with you, I'll meet you with you while I do some work in the barn. And so they go into the barn, and it says that he picked up a pitchfork and looked around for the hay, but there was no hay, and he called out, and he said, John, where's all the hay? And John calls down from the hayloft, he said, sorry, sir, I ain't had time to toss it back down again since you pitched it up when you were talking with the Iowa folks. So obviously he was, you know, putting on this facade. And that's what hypocrisy is, okay? I know that that's not unfamiliar to you. But, you know, when you read about, we read about Pharisees, we read about these hypocrites, and the Pharisees are the epitome of hypocrisy. I mean, they are, you know, it's like almost to the nth degree, you know, it's like overblown. We can see so clearly that they're phony. But what we have to ask ourselves is this: am I a hypocrite? You know, when do I put on in front of others an air of piety, a righteousness that really is not, it's only skin deep. I mean, it's not really what my heart is. And I'm afraid, you know, Jesus says, beware of this, because it's something that we all have a tendency to want to do. We all have this tendency to want to be accepted, to be lauded, you know, by applauded, you know, kind of exalted, lifted up, thought well of. We all, you know, that's a natural thing. And if we're not careful, hypocrisy can creep in. And all of a sudden we're pretending to be someone that we're really not. And so we have to be careful about the leaven of hypocrisy. And it's that deceptiveness, it's that pretending, it's that mask that goes on. Now there's some secondary characteristics of hypocrisy. In verse 38, back in chapter 11, verse 38, we saw this supper at the Pharisee's house. And, you know, he criticized in his mind, his heart, Jesus for not washing. Because the Pharisees are very, as I said, they were fastidious about washing. They were, and what they do see is, this is where this hypocrisy, because our righteousness is kind of skin deep, but we put it on and we show it off to others. As that grows, we find the Pharisees become very petty and their petty little rules. You know, he talked about how they, in verse 42, they tithe the mint. You know, mint is like, you know, an herb. And they would take those leaves and cut a little tenth off of it, you know, and tithe of their herbs and their rue and cunnum and all manner of herbs and so on. And he said, you know, they do all those kind of things. Those are to be seen. Those are ways in which they can display their self-righteousness. And they become very legalistic, is a term often used. You know, when we talk about Pharisaical, we think about being legalistic. And it's because that's their mask. You know, their mask is this, all this little laws, these external things they do to show themselves righteous. And, you know, sometimes, and so washing, there's nothing wrong with washing. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't sinful to eat without washed hands. But because they had made it that way, the laws the Pharisees put on people were ones that they themselves used to show themselves as righteous. And because they kind of one-up one another, all of a sudden these laws are growing. You know, well, you wash this way, but I wash more. And you tithe off of this, but I even tithe off of, you know, every little thing. And it just became so petty and so competitive and so... And this external self-righteousness is a sign of hypocrisy. It's a sign of the hypocrite. It's a sign of the Pharisee. Because, you know, it's about that show, and the more you can show, you find that people who just simply have a heart for God, there's a righteousness by the grace of God in their life. You know, they're just being real. People that, you know, they're not so judgmental when it comes to little rules. It's not like the Pharisees were famous at being able to point out the mote in your eye and at the same time have a beam in their own eye. You know what I mean? And so when you see Christians that are, you know, so legalistic, picky about little rules and condemning others for that, a lot of times that's a sign of their own hypocrisy, their own external righteousness, but it's not from a clear conscience. It's not from a clean heart. It's just from a bunch of rules that they're trying to keep up and show themselves. And you know, sometimes churches play into that. And I'm not, you know, as far as myself and our church, and we don't want to be lawless. You know, we don't want to use our liberty as a license for sin. We don't want to, become worldly or carnal. And so we try to maintain a godliness, a holiness. You know, those are real things. But it's not, you know, it's not this putting on and all these commandments and keeping every letter, dotting every I. And if you don't, you know, you're not right with God. And you know, a lot of churches can get into those kind of game of trying to appear more righteous than somebody else. And that's a sign of this leaven taking over a life. And so the Pharisees were self-righteous. They were proud. He stood like the Pharisee that stood and prayed with himself. Within himself it says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You know, as I thought about that, I wrote this down in my notes. You know how he could pray like that? I mean, how can you pray? Can you imagine praying like, Lord, I thank you that I'm so good, better than all these other people? I mean, you can't imagine praying like that. You know, how can you? Well, the reason he could pray like that is because, as Luke points out, he prayed within himself. His prayer was not sincere. His prayer was not to God. Because you couldn't come to God if you really know God. You wouldn't come to God and boast. You wouldn't commend yourself to God. If you come to God and start commending yourself, listing off all the things that you've done for him, wow, I would say, that would be between you and God, obviously, but I would, if I was listening in, I would think, wow, that's not the way I could come before God. But see, he wasn't even sincere. He wasn't praying. He was praying within himself. He thought he was talking to God. He pretended to be talking to God. But if he was really talking to God, he would have recognized that righteousness, that, you know, his fasting, those things don't make up for the sin of the heart. And so there's the pretending. Now, I wanted to teach through this, and I know that you are familiar with the terms, but I also want us to really examine ourselves. You know, because I know this is a thing. It's something that I find myself, I got to check my life periodically for hypocrisy. This leaven that wants to get in and leaven the whole lump. At what point do you see hypocrisy in your life? A pretending, a self-righteousness, fulfilling all of this external things that keep up the facade, that, you know, maintains that appearance. And many times we do just enough to maintain the appearance. As soon as, you know, it's like when this camera goes off, I'll go and the suit comes off, the tie, and, you know, and I put on my jeans, right? You know, and not that this makes me righteous or anything. That's not why we wear these kind of clothes. But I'm just saying some Christians, you know, they pretend to be. But when they, you know, in the public, at the church, around people, and they do just enough, they keep enough Christian things in their life to pass, you know, hey, he looks like a good Christian. You know, we think he's a great, sincere believer. But then when they get behind the doors, it all comes off, and then the real nature comes out. You know, that. And their heart is full of hypocrisy, full of dead men's bones, full of things. And their family knows it. The wife knows it. The children know it. And people see that hypocrisy. Sometimes your coworkers see it. And so it needs to be a reality, not putting on. And where we fall, we don't want to go around pretending we're something we're not. We need to confess our sins. We need to humble ourselves and not judge others. Recognize that we are needing to grow in the Lord. So their prayer was sincere. They played the game. And he says to beware of this. Now, like I said, in the Pharisees, it had become almost ridiculous. It becomes so blatant. But with many of us, it's way more subtle. But that leaven grows and it puffs up. And over time, it creates the Pharisaical attitude. Now let's close. Chapter 12, verse 2. He warns them about allowing this leaven of the Pharisees to get it into their heart. And then he says this in chapter 12, verse 2. And here's the conclusion. For he says, beware of that, verse 1. Verse 2, for, or because, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. What's that mean? Well, we know what that means. It means that God knows. There's nothing covered, there's nothing hidden when it comes to God. God sees right through it. God knows what you are in private. God knows when you're putting on, pretending to be something you're not. God knows all that. And not only does He know it, it says that there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, nothing hid that shall not be made known. He's going to make it known. He's going to reveal it. And then it says in verse 3, therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear, in the closet, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. God knows it, and one day God's going to expose it, and others will know it as well. And so beware of it, because, first of all, you're not fooling God. And there's no point in pretending, because one day you're going to be discovered. You know, well, let me read on. Let's finish. In verse 4, here's another thought. He says, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And who is that? Well, obviously that's God, right? So he says, don't fear men, fear God. Now, I'm really close to done here. He says, beware of this leaven, because God already knows. And it's often driven by the fear of men. It's driven because we want to look good to men. But he says, don't worry about men. Just fear God. In other words, don't put on a show for the sake of what men think. Don't worry about what men think. We need to only worry about what God already knows. And if we do that, we won't be falling into this trap, this leaven of Phariseeism.